Amen. I can't think of a better place to be than in the presence of God. And I thank Him tonight for one more opportunity to get to be here. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you that's here. My heart goes out with you as we enter into this new year. And I can't promise you that everything you're going to face in the coming year is always going to be great. It's not always going to be easy. There will be struggles along the way. But what I can tell you is that through every step of it, God's going to be with you. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. I hope you do. If you want to turn with us and follow along, we'll start in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to read a verse there and go to some other scriptures as well. My heart is thrilled about what God wants to tell His people. Now, I'm telling you, I feel what you feel. I sure do. I'm not oblivious to reality. Some things are just the way they are right now, and it's tough, it's hard, it hurts, we're broke, we're hurting, we need things, we need answers. And I'm here to tell you, I'm standing in that with you. God will not fail us. He will not forsake us, and for that I shall remain faithful to Him. Continue to serve Him, continue to be glad of all that He does. Even when I can't see everything I want, I'm still glad for the things He does, and I thank Him for that. We'll go ahead and read verse 1 at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if you want to go to the next part, you can go ahead and thumb over to Isaiah 43. But I want to read this verse, and then we'll flip over to that and read that. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Let me go through that again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now turn to Isaiah and 43, if you will. We'll read verse 18 and 19 out of that chapter. And it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Let's go through that one more time. Isaiah 43, start at verse 18. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. And behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Father God, I ask tonight that you bless in this place. Let this room be filled with your glory. God, let our hearts and our minds be drawn to you in this moment. Let us not be led astray by the enemy. Let us not give up now. Let us hold on to you. God, and I pray as I feel your anointing moving, that you stir our hearts, God, to give it as you have put it in us, that others may feel the joy of this word tonight. And God, I ask that you bless each one that's here, that they receive of this word, God, that it be sown into their life, not just to hear this, but to do this as well. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. So before we start diving in a little bit deeper, there's just a few things I've got to get off my chest tonight. And as I read out of this scripture, it's just something that I have to receive to myself and extend unto you. And that is, to everything there is a season. Look over at your neighbor and tell him it's just a season. You may feel bad. You may feel busted up. You may feel low, you may feel broken, hurting, down and out, but I'm here to tell you tonight that it's only a season. This season, just like it goes from being cold and without leaves on the trees and dreary outside where you don't want to go out, just like it transitions from that into the next season, God is going to bring you out of what you're feeling right now in this moment, and He's going to elevate you to a new bloom, a new thing. He wants to grow your bloom even greater than it is today. Let me tell you something tonight. Before we can ever receive of the bloom, we've got to be broken in the ground. And let me tell you tonight, God wants to take you from this point in your season and remind you that He's going to be God on your way through to this next thing. And I'm here to tell you, to everything there is a season, and to everything there is a purpose. You may be wondering tonight, why in the world have I had to go through this? Why in the world am I going through this? Why in the world am I about to go through this? But I want to remind you that everything you're going to go through is going to make you all the stronger of a Christian, all the stronger of a person, all the stronger of an individual, that when they see you live your life, they'll know that there's something about you. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I'm not who I was, hallelujah. I'm not who I used to be. I stood in a different season in my life a long time ago. And no, I've looked back and said, Lord, why did I ever have to go through that? But now I understand something. Had I not ever been brought out of something I could have never brought myself out of, I would have never understood just how magnificent, just how amazing, just how wonderful, can I praise Him for a minute, just how magnificent that my God was. When He found me in the worst of seasons, He took what was meant for my detriment and He worked it for my good. Hallelujah, that's something you ought to be able to praise Him for. And I know you might think I'm crazy tonight because you're in this season and I may be standing in a different season, but I want you to know that the God that's with me is the God that's with you, and He will not change. He will not fail. He will not lie. He will not leave you behind. Bless God, I feel Him on me tonight because I'm reminded that this time of my life is only temporary. One day, daybreak is going to come again. One day, joy is going to come again. Somebody ought to claim that tonight. One day joy is coming again. One day salvation is coming for my children. One day drugs and alcohol will not hold them. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can we go on? Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is that telling me? Help me to see that this season is going to pass, so that I may apply knowledge where I'm at. You don't need to treat what you're going through, hallelujah, as something that's going to last forever. You need to put a number on that thing. Bless the Lord, my soul. You need to put a number on that thing. You need to tell the devil, here in a few days I'm coming out of this. Here in a few hours I'm coming out of this. I'm not going to stay here forever. Look over at your neighbor and tell him, I'm not going to stay here forever. I'm going on. I'm putting a number on this thing. I can't put an exact count on when I'm coming out of the things I'm going through now, but I've told the devil it's only a matter of time before my appointed end has come. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been in a winter season for a while, and I'm not talking about the cold outside. I'm talking about feeling that cold and indifferent, dividing, jealous, bitter spirit that's trying to divide the church of today. And I'm here to tell you that we've got to stand through these days and still trust in the Lord, because He wants to open up our hearts again to be warm towards one another, to be loving towards one another and to shine a light to those that are out in the cold. Do you know what I'm talking about tonight? There are people that are lost tonight that need you to shine to them. Teach us to number our days that we may apply knowledge. Whew. That means don't wait till you're already through it before you have hindsight. God's telling you, have hindsight today. You need to tell yourself this tonight. I don't know if we have this talk with ourselves. I'm coming out of this. You want to speak that over yourself boldly? Let's do it together. I'm coming out of this. Whatever that is for you, you're coming out of this. You're coming out of this. Hallelujah. This shell that we've been in, these walls that we put up, it's time for a new church. It's time for a new season. It's time for a new anointing. It's time for a new generation to step up and to show just how mighty our God really is. Do you believe that? Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 29 in verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Whew. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I've asked God this so many times, Lord, why didn't you just let me go? When I was so far gone, why didn't you just let me go? And as I've said that to God, I could feel His embrace upon me. And when I thought that I was too far gone to be had, don't you know that while I was in the worst of it, He still had me? Don't you know that in the worst of what you're going through, that God, hallelujah, I feel this all over me. God still has you in the midst of darkness. God still has you in the midst of cancer. God still has you in the midst of depression. Don't you dare give up yet, because God has you in His hand. Well, I don't know God's plan for me. Well, aren't you glad He knows His plan for you? Amen, brother. I'm glad He knows His plan for me. That means I don't have to keep trying to make my own plans. Let me tell you, your plans will destroy you. Your ideas and the way you'll do it will destroy you. We as a church trying to do it our way without the flow of God will destroy us. Hear me under the sound of my voice tonight. There is somebody greater in you than you've let out of the cage. And it's time that we open the doors of our heart and let our Lord know and our enemy know just who it is that we are and just who we are that we're going to be. I'm not as though I was. Don't talk to me like I used to be. I'm not that person anymore. But are you really? I know Him, sis. Yeah, I bet you do too. I feel Him, sis. Yeah, I bet you do too. But when He wants to move my mountains, do I know Him or do I pretend like I don't? Truthfully, the biggest mountains that we have are the ones that we have the ability to move. And if we would move those, God said He'd give you dominion over the rest. I'm not trying to put a step in front of you that's too high to climb. I'm just trying to remind you that you've got a God that's with you in your season. And I want to remind you, this step isn't up here so high that you can't get it. He's got it to where if we'll just use a little bit of faith, it can make us elevate. Somebody say, elevate. It'll help you elevate. It'll help you take the next step from glory to glory. God wants to elevate where you are now to where He's taking you. Brother, I just don't feel that, what you're feeling right now. Brother, If you only knew what I'm facing, you wouldn't be so excited to tell me I can be different. I understand. And I know it sounds crazy, depending on where you're sitting. But I want to tell you tonight, it's not impossible. If you can take all your feelings out of this, if you can take all the situation out of this, and you get it to just you and God, you name anything to God in prayer that you feel like's impossible, and see if He doesn't move for your needs. We have lost our ability to believe in the impossible because we've lost that new thing, that new spirit, that fresh anointing. We've spent so long going back to who we used to be 10 years ago. We've spent too long going back to the church that we were before this building, not realizing that all the while God is still with us. He still wants to elevate us, and in spite of what we're dealing with, He wants to take us higher. We're going to speak a real truth. Look over at your neighbor and say, He wants to take you higher. Can I go on? Is this okay? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. I love this verse. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. I tell you, when we go on our feelings, we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. And when we walk by sight, we truly cannot see God's plan. I don't know who I'm reaching out to this for tonight. My Lord, we can't set our own plans in order. When God, I feel this in prophecy, when God is trying to set His plan in motion, and if you'll just trust Him, through this season, He will take you from destruction and bring you to where there is life. Oh, somebody needs to receive that tonight. Your plans will not fix this. You forcing the issue and bringing feelings into the mix to move people will not fix this. You have simply got to trust God to handle this. Somebody needed to receive that in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel a warning go out of me for that. You cannot plan this your way. You must let God have control. Oh, Lord. You can take it or leave it or try to return it at Walmart, but they probably won't take it. The Lord determines your steps. Isn't that comforting? I don't have to worry about which way I'm heading as long as I'm heading His way. He's leading me where I need to go. Isn't that amazing? Can I give you an example there? There was a season, you know, and I've shared this for some of you, where I was trying to find the right place to live, the right house to move to, and I was really ready to move on to the next chapter of my life. And I spent so long looking around and just felt like everywhere we went to look, we were just striking out. Has anybody ever been there with something like that? Trying, striking out each time, getting all the more discouraged each time, all the more frustrated each time, and there finally had to be a moment where I finally said, God, I cannot figure this out on my own. I need You to lead me, and until You show me the way, I'll not keep trying to find it. 2+ years of trying my way. After I finally gave it to Him, it was just a matter of months where He revealed where we were supposed to move. Hear me under the sound of my voice. This can apply to anything. When we surrender who's driving the car of our life and let God be the driver, when we truly let Him have what causes us distress and aggravates us every day, listen, that stress is going to add up on you. Can I just be real with you? That stress is going to add up on you. You'll eventually have no life to enjoy because stress will have consumed everything about you. There's got to come a point of
pure, unadulterated surrender, where you simply tell God in the humblest of terms, I can't do this anymore, and I can't do it without you. It starts with surrender. You want to understand God's will? Surrender to His will. You want more of God's Spirit? Surrender to His Spirit. You want to be taught more? Surrender to being taught. You want to be able to receive the preaching? Don't throw it back at me, just surrender to it. Lord, this hits me pretty hard tonight. I'm going to be the first to admit this is hitting me pretty hard tonight. But I'm not going to throw it away, I'll tell you that. As we enter into this new year, I'm going to be plain with you. If we do not understand our purpose, our calling, and God's will in our life, you won't be here this time next year. You hear me? You count the numbers that was here this time last year and the year before. And tell me that if all these numbers, have they all passed away that are gone now? No. I'll tell you what happened. Life happened. And they weren't ready to handle the problem. We're only one step from sin. One step. One choice. One decision. And do you think maybe what you have built up in your lifetime will be enough to keep you when you're faced with danger? Friends, I know this sounds absurd, but I'm going to be very plain. I extend to you the most courteous of warnings that I can. If you don't understand God's will for you now, the enemy will come to destroy you. We better be ready by knowing who we are. We better be ready by understanding what we are supposed to do, what we're called to do. And above all of that, we better be willing to surrender to Him in spite of everything we're dealing with. I'm telling you, it's 10 times easier to shout than it is to repent. Hey, it's 20 times easier to sing a song than it is to admit I'm wrong. Amen or oh me, whatever you want tonight. You eat it how you want to. To eat it with a spoon or a fork, don't matter to me. It's much easier to say that it's somebody else's fault I can't enjoy my Christianity. Right? Easy to say it's Brother Justin's fault I can't enjoy my Christianity. Far easier than to say that it's my fault that I can't enjoy my Christianity. The days of living on the milk are over. The days of expecting everything and asking for nothing and still getting something are gone. The days of dovetailing off evangelists, anointed individuals, and the prayers of our ancestors, it's gone. I miss them. But I know that if there were some of them that would still be here today, they wouldn't hardly know what to do with the world we live in. What are you getting across, brother? I want you to open your eyes very wide to the truth of reality. Pharmaceuticals, internet, the influence of media, political correctness, and the adoption of sin in Christianity is single-handedly choking out what it means to be a Christian. And each and every day we are called upon to compromise what the Word of God has told us is wrong. And there will be a day, my friend, where you'll be pressured and challenged on how you believe. And if terror continues to grow at the rate it is now, you won't have to be challenged in a third world country about how you believe. And if I could ever be as serious as I could be now, I would tell you this. You better have your eyes open for evil, because evil is upon us. This is no attempt to brainwash. This is no fear or scare tactics. This is reality. It's time to stop being afraid of what could come tomorrow and just realize tomorrow has come. Children don't have to be out of elementary school before the enemy has already destroyed them. Are we ready to teach them and be ready for when the enemy would reach them? Well, I'll wait till they are old enough to be at the age of accountability. Listen, the devil doesn't care about the age of accountability. He's ready to destroy them before they ever know who God is. Now let me turn this around. Don't want to leave you there. Now Job, in his worst of seasons, had a turning point, right? He had what I'll call the turning point epiphany. He realized, in spite of his sufferings, he was still going to choose to serve God. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. If you wonder why that the grass is not greener on the other side after you get saved, it's because that reality is the same no matter which side of the fence that you're on. But the difference between one side of the fence and the other is life versus death. It's prosperity versus being poor. It's healing versus being ill. It's being glad versus being unhappy. There is an outcome where you can be happy. There is a place where God wants you to be blessed, but you've got to choose to live there. Will we open our eyes before it's too late? Hear me tonight. Will we stop putting off what we're already losing ground on? Brother, I'm just not into it tonight. You know, just let me be. I've had a hard time. Just let me be. Listen, when you are pushing off what is trying to bring you closer to God, you're not pushing the person. You're not even pushing the moment. You're rejecting God. And the longer we reject Him, the sooner we shall be preyed upon. In all seriousness, every service that we fail, the devil gains ground on who we love. You believe that? If you don't, that's okay, but I wholeheartedly believe if I'm not gaining ground, I'm losing ground. And I don't have time to live on the fence. You can't be anointed on the fence. You hear me? Is this too tough tonight? Is this okay? I'm trying to be kind and gentle with it. But we can't be highly anointed of God on the fence. And we can't decide today we're going to be happy and anointed and enjoy God. I just like looking at you, brother. Don't take it the wrong way. Be highly anointed and favored of God, and then tomorrow we jump back over the fence to say it just how we feel it. But then when something happens to one of our loved ones, we're back on the other side of the fence and we're saying, Lord, I believe you're able. Hallelujah. Then the next day, in the conversation, just like the rest of things that we shouldn't be saying, right? What are you trying to get at, brother? Get to the point, brother. I'm telling myself that. I like this. Psalm 65, verse 11. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overthrow with abundance. That which you have fought for, that you have gained, is what will bring you an overflow of joy. You know what that means? Nights when it's tough and I still have a good time, you know what I'm doing? I'm filling up my cart. Do you see it? It's getting pretty full. And when I go through a little bit of a tough season, you know what I've got? I've got overflow. I've got overflow. I can reach into my overflow and say, Lord, I've had a rough day, but I remember when you blessed me. You know it says to count your blessings, right? You know what you're doing. You're filling your cart. Thank you, Lord, for another day of health. Thank you, Lord, for another day of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for somebody telling me that God loves me. Thank you, Lord, for another day that I can walk around and know who I am and where I am. Thank you, Lord, for paid bills. Thank you, Lord, for cable internet. Nobody's thankful for cable internet. That's all right. Thank you, Lord, for being able to go through the drive-thru and give me a nice meal. Take advantage of so many conveniences. We take advantage of padded pews. You know, we ought to have a service sometime where we go into the most remote area, just fire up a little coal stove, if you will, and get real humble. We've lost our sense of who we can be because we've spent so much time getting ourselves comfortable in the wrong way. Padded pews are great, but if you lose your Christianity on one, you better watch out. To everything there is a season. To every part of it there's a purpose. God knows his plans for you. And if you'll trust in his plan, he will guide your steps to what? To that which you desire. Right? And as long as you build up your strength with what he gives you, then you'll have overflow. I hope one day we get this place filled up. I really do. I really do. But I tell you what, my friend, I've got to learn how to live with overflow in my life before I can come to expect overflow in others. So what can I say that we can remember as we're entering into a new season, a new year? Open your eyes to reality. Know the devil is among us, and he is not resting until he takes all that are not ready to go. It's our duty for those of us who are still left and able to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. So don't let numbers intimidate you. Don't let people intimidate you. Be exactly who you are. Go over to your neighbor and tell them, be who you are. Don't be a different version of yourself. Be who you are. If you like to laugh, then laugh. If you love to testify on the fly, then testify. If you like to sing redback hymnals, sing them with all your heart. Do what you do, because God will bless you for it. There's so much that we all can contribute that the lost could be saved. And as I conclude this, I dare say, that maybe if we don't spend so much time trying to build and create a perfect church service, that we may become the kind of church that can have a perfect love. If we don't spend all our time waiting until the right person's here, we quit spinning our wheels about how many are here, and focus on what brought us here. God's love for us. That through him, the world might be saved. That's what it's all about. There is a whole world out there that still needs your love. Sometimes I sing And if I sing around people that know me very well, it's not very effective. It's nothing against the song. It's nothing I do wrong. But there's a whole world that needs your song. You know that? People may know my testimony front to back. You may actually be able to tell it better than me. But somebody still needs your testimony, just like it is. You may have done all that you know to do to love people to the point that they've lost the value of your love. But there's still people that need your love. This world still needs somebody to care. There are people that still need help, that still need a shoulder to cry on, that still need comfort, that still need someone that's not judging them, but embracing them to help them see a new version of themselves. I thank God for a time in my life, Doris, where God truly showed me who he was. Did he come in a burning bush? No. Did he come riding in on a horse? No. How did you see him? I saw him in the way that people loved me. I heard him through the words that people said that let me know they cared. And I felt his love because of how I saw that other people enjoyed his love. How can anyone ever realize how much they're loved until we understand love? So I look forward to what we do this year and here. But truth be known, this isn't where I get my greatest joy. You know where I get my joy? In seeing the look in somebody's eyes when I'm able to help them even though I didn't have to. When I do something selfless for someone and I don't get anything in return. And above all that, when through those things I have the opportunity to tell somebody, I didn't do this because I'm special. I do this because there was a God that loved me when I had nothing. Truthfully, that's what it's all about. When we didn't deserve it, Jesus came and gave his life for all of us, that through him we would be saved. And as he lives in us, we still have yet something to give to others. And I love being here, but I'm going to be very plain, as I have been all night. This is your filling station. But that's it. You can't just be a Christian when you get here. You need to get filled up here and be a Christian where it matters. And I know a lot of you remember my last message of last year, talking about the year of change. Being a person that I've never been before. And I feel like I'm preaching on a level now I never thought I'd ever reach. Honestly, I never thought my mind could ever carry or even be trusted with some of the things that God has shown. But I tell you, I'm looking for more of him. I'm looking for more of him. I'm believing for that great revival that is coming. And I'm looking for more of him. And if it has to be on the streets, if it has to be in some run-amuck tent set up somewhere, I'm going to be where he is, and I'm going to be looking for more of him. Because when others would crumble, I'm going to stand. Are you going to stand? How can you be so bold in what you say, brother? Because I know who I'm standing on. That's why. I know I've maybe wore you out the last 10 minutes here, but I'm just trying to get you to understand that if you will simply surrender what you're dealing with right now in this season to God, that he will guide you and lead you out of what you're facing. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much it has affected you, there is a world ahead of you where you can be blessed greater than you've ever known now. Job faced his greatest epiphany. Then what happened? He received a portion well over what he ever started with. In fact, I believe the Bible calls that he had double of what he started with. So he went from a season where he felt like he had lost everything and transitioned into a season where he had more than he ever started with. That means it's not impossible for God. And not only that, it's possible for God to take wherever you're at and double your situation for your good. How many of you need that kind of blessing from the Lord? I need more from Him today than I ever did before. We've just got to learn to surrender like Job did. Though I suffer. That's what he was really saying, right? Though I suffer, I'll still serve God. Though I'm going through this, I'm still going to praise Him. Though I'm dealing with difficult times, I'll still come and do my part. That's where it matters. It's the things that no one notices, that no one acknowledges, that cost you something that is seen by God. Where praises will come, they'll go. Where numbers will come, they'll fade. But God will never change. He will bring you through this season. Do you believe that? Let me get one great big amen before I close. Do you believe that? All right.